Giants, C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Still plenty of discussion to take place about the NFL playoffs, including a special edition of NFL Playoff Overreaction or Reality. But in the meantime, it feels so long ago, but we are not that far removed from this game. Go ahead and give me cut number 17. We go back to Friday night and people starting to realize this is one of the greatest college football teams I think we've ever seen.
D'Air Hill Jr. is the running back. The quick pass is intercepted. It's going to be run in for an Indiana touchdown. D'Angelo Pons on the first play of the game.
Now, you might, if you saw that play and saw the final score, you might have been like, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But actually what happened in the Friday night other college football national semifinal is Oregon put together an amazingly well-constructed drive right after that, moved down the field to tie the game 7-7. And then over the span of the rest of the first half and the first drive of the second half, Indiana scored 35 unanswered points.
Mm-hmm. It just absolutely destroyed them. Like, that was, it was a dismantling on every level.
Yes.
And in a game where Fernando Mendoza throws 5 touchdowns, but doesn't even surpass 180 passing yards.
Right.
And his running backs don't get over 60 yards. Like, this was a weird, the numbers are just weird.
Right.
The score shouldn't be 56-22, but Kevin, Indiana is a complete team. This is like, this is the reality that they're not just a, oh, it's a good offense and they go out there. They are a complete team and that defense stands up strong.
Man, and let's talk about that defense. 53% pressure rate. That was what
That's good.
Dante Moore faced in the first half. That is the highest pressure rate that he has faced in any half all season. And clearly that made a difference because by the time you got to the half, it was 35-7. So that defense, it was unbelievable. It got so out of control that Greg McElroy started talking about other things during the game, which I get, like you're apt to do when it's a blowout. And by the time he got to halftime, he was like, oh, you know, starting to talk about the all-time nature of this Indiana team. And then when it got to be, I think when it got to be like 49-15, he started talking about it and comparing it to that 2019 LSU, the Joe Burrow team. And one of the things he said that I thought was really fascinating, maybe there's not as many first overall, or I think he meant first round NFL picks, but the level of dominance across the board along the offensive line at wide receiver, they have so many ways to beat you. That's exactly what Joe Burrow's 2019 team looked like. And let's go back to what you mentioned about the defense. After they gave up that touchdown drive on Oregon's second possession, after already scoring a pick six, the next 5 drives for Oregon, they had 36 yards, and they turned the ball over twice and got sacked 3 times. And by that point, the game was over. I know you still had to play the second half because of the rules of football, but the game was over.
Yeah, you score 15 points in the second half, and you're still down by 34. You're just like, I don't know what to do. Elijah Surratt is a fun receiver to watch. Like that dude, and by the way, and Charlie Becker is terrifying as well, but like he's got efficient groups. I'm kind of curious,
yes,
when it comes to Mendoza and the completion percentage and the way that those got, like his Mike used to say this as a joke all the time when it came to interceptions. He throws a catchable ball.
Yes.
Fernando Mendoza must throw the most catchable ball because of how high that percentage is. Their catch percentage is insane. But the other thing that they kind of, somebody made the comparison and I don't know that I see it. They compared Fernando Mendoza to Mac Jones. And I remember watching a lot of Mac Jones and feeling like the dude, like, he benefited a lot from a very good Alabama team. And I feel like Fernando Mendoza looks like the guy that's like, he's kind of the one running that thing. And I don't know if you agree. I don't agree with the Mac Jones thing, but I think it was kind of like a, look, they traded up. You know, the Niners wanted The Patriots wanted Mac Jones. The Niners right. wanted to trade up to get him. What are they going to do for Mendoza? And I was like, huh, okay. So I just watching him play is a lot of fun, though.
See, and I would be inclined to kind of differ with that comparison a little bit as well. But I want to talk a little bit more about him and then the general nature of the NCAA right now. So the wild thing is these two college football playoff games for Indiana, he has Mendoza. 5 incompletions total and 8 touchdowns.
Alec, that means he has more touchdowns than he has incompletions.
So on good?
Any particular Fernando Mendoza play, what's more likely? He scores a touchdown or throws an incompletion? The answer is he scores a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And no interceptions, by the way.
Now, granted, he was it 16 and 20 passes
yeah,
that he's thrown?
Because the game was over. He's 31 of 36. We were like, oh, that's a hell of a game. And you're like, no, that's 2 games.
Yeah.
And 8 touchdowns. Unbelievable. They have outscored Alabama and Oregon 94 to 25.
All right. Alabama's not the Alabama anymore.
But they're something.
They're still Alabama.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like the big name programs that you would expect that would put up the points to compete against them, Indiana's Kurt Cignetti's like, no, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm too motivated. I got these guys motivated. That's why I don't smile and all those things.
And one of the things that you started to see because of that is take a look at how the point spread has moved so far and where it'll end up. So remember, we said the look-ahead line was Indiana would be favored by 6 over Miami. And then you saw just the absolute destruction of Oregon. Here's another thing. Oregon shut out the team they played before this and then gave up 56 points to an Indiana team that quit trying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, like, they were like, hey, this game is over.
Did you feel, listen, I know Texas Tech made a significant push for themselves. Did you feel they were in the same class as Oregon?
Yes,
I did.
I thought they were going to win that game.
You did, really?
I did.
I didn't feel that, but I understand.
But
you're right. In a playoff game, to shut out your opponent is a big deal.
Absolutely. So it was going to be 6 on the look-ahead line. Then Indiana destroys Oregon. Then it goes up to 7.5. Now it's 8.5. And, like, Miami has had an awesome run to the championship. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk probably more about that on Thursday, but I can see why this point spread continues to get bigger and bigger. But then again, if you're Miami, nobody knows better about how a big point spread does not necessarily translate to a win or a loss in the college football championship game than the Miami Hurricanes do, but I'll leave that for another day. My question to go along with all of this, because you know a lot of people have complained about the if you think it's a mercenary system or just a business of college sports, and they're like, yeah, I don't like it as much anymore. Has that impacted?
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get those texts all the time.
Why?
So 2 weeks ago, we said it's not going back. A few people pushed back, including one person who said you should only be able to transfer once. The NCAA and players and states, they just made an agreement on this less than 2 years ago. It's not going back. But is it impacting anyone's enjoyment of this playoff?
If anything, for me, it's added more intrigue. I'll be honest, Kevin.
I like that.
I've kind of gotten a lot of people got tired of Golden State being in the championship
right.
all the time. I've kind of gotten tired of the same schools kind of just being at the top and sitting there because of whatever their program was able to accomplish. You're going to tell me that they weren't paying. They weren't like it's just open now and the money's bigger. Like that's the reality of what college football is now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The fact, though, that I got an Indiana in there and I had a Texas Tech in there and I had a UNT potential opportunity. A&M was as high. The fact that these schools are now rotating and Kevin, it can rotate next year.
Now
the transfer portal, I don't love. I don't love like because I would like to see a kid go in, take a college over, be the quarterback there for 3 years, 4 years would be awesome. See something like a legacy built like that. It felt like we saw it for a while, but I know that changed. But I would love to be able to see that. Transfer portal gets confusing. I get so confused that I don't care.
Okay.
But when it comes to playoff time, the fact that I have new names and new faces in there, I love.
All right. So you'll understand this complaint then. On Sunday, 2 days, less than 48 hours after both of the college football playoff semifinal games had been completed. Of the 9 top stories on ESPN's college football page, 7 of them were about players returning to their current school, entering the transfer portal, or going on potential visits. 7 of the 9. And this was like within a day and a half of the college football playoff
semifinals. This morning when I woke up, Twitter, my whole timeline was full of portal transfers. And I'm like, I'm not tracking those. I'm sorry. Okay. That's not what I'm going to do. Now, that being said, I think that every single one of these kids should have the freedom to do that.
Okay.
I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying I'm not going to track it. And I'm also going to be kind of confused whenever I see a quarterback that I thought was still at the other school. Now he's at another school across the country. I'll be like, when the hell did this happen? And somebody's going to be like, hey, did you not track the portal? I'll be like, no, that's not something I'm into. I'm not tracking the portal all the time. There's some names I'll keep up with. But yeah, that's where I am with the way the portal works. It doesn't bother me that much because they should be able to. Coaches can leave whenever the hell they want to.
Yes.
You know, like there's all sorts of things that go on back and forth there. So I'm in on that. But it just, I think that the fact that you have new programs, a program like Indiana, which we discussed at length, had no success. None.
Second most losses in the history of NCAA football.
Yeah, this is like their fourth ever playoff game or something like that.
This is their fifth ever bowl game.
God.
They might.
And how many of them
bowl wins? Excuse me. Yeah, they might end the season with 6 bowl wins all time, 3 of them in this year. And 3 in the history of their school before that. That is crazy. All right, so would it change your opinion then? If system's exactly the same, everything else about it's the same, but the semifinals were Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Georgia. Like, would that change your opinion? If it,
I would just be like, okay.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen this show.
Yeah,
I wanted something new, but I've seen this show before. Kurt Cignetti's great. Like that, like his personality to go along with it. It's nice to be able to see that coach involved in this too.
Yeah, look, and that's one of the things we mentioned this maybe last week. I want to bring it up again. Cody Campbell, the billionaire oil person that is a booster for Texas Tech, said, "Look, I'm a threat to the status quo," and that's one of the reasons that you saw Texas Tech pop in softball and now really looking strong in football as well, is because some of these new rules and some of these boosters. And he's like, "I'm a threat to the status quo." And I saw somebody texting in about how Alabama's hands are tied because of state rules and state laws when it comes to some of these booster payments. And that's the thing that fascinates me.
Now their hands are tied.
Well, yeah. And it feels a little bit like Major League Baseball or maybe pre-salary cap in other sports when there were like these vague restrictions. Because college football and the government have been like, oh, yeah, no, we got these restrictions in place. Really? What are they? Well, it's complicated. If you have to tell me your restrictions are it's complicated, then you don't have real restrictions. And that's one of the things. I wonder if in a few years people will get more frustrated about this. And then let's say that is the case. What are you going to do about it? Roll this back?
Mm-hmm.
That feels tough.
Corey, let's remember, coaches aren't kids and kids aren't coaches. There's a difference in what they should be allowed to do. Explain that a little more to me.
Because I won't explain that part to you. I'll explain.
I'm asking them.
Yeah.
Explain that a little more because I don't agree.
Because I think then wouldn't your argument be if you were one of these players, theoretically I'm a kid per adults and like your brain maturation and everything. But like then the argument would be, well, I'm old enough for you to want me to pay for school and I'm old enough for you to theoretically send me off to war if that was going to happen. So why am I not old enough to make these other decisions or make money? I think the biggest thing is it comes down to making money. I understand their concerns about these young people. 100% I do. But you are breaking away from a system that for years and years and years, billions, not millions, billions of dollars were made from people who oversaw it but didn't actually do any of the competing. Mm-hmm. And eventually the players are like, hey, I want a part. Maybe a lot.
Yeah. I wonder also, like, I'd love to see a number on how many players were given scholarships or they were there, got hurt, never went to the NFL. Never got their big payday, for sure. While the college programs continued to rake in the money.
And can I give you an example?
For their endowment, of course.
Exactly, like Harvard. Man, I was shocked to learn how much that was. So the Athletic says that Arch Manning made the most NIL money last year at $6.8 million. Do you know how many college football coaches made more than $6.8 million last season?
None.
35.
Oh, okay.
35.
So he made.
So he would have been the 36th highest paid coach. So my point.
Which is why Nick Saban left.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be talking to kids holding this over them whenever they know they make as much or more than I do.
I totally get that. And maybe people loved it because this was the last bastion where the coach really had control, because he's like, I can cut your ass. And eventually you're going to have players that are making more than their coaches are, like in every other sport.
That being said, I mean, and I'm using this, I feel like I heard this weekend. Cignetti has a program that he's built that he could take to the NFL. It's built, it's in the NIL era. It's with the, like, all these things. It's, hey, you come here, you're paid well, you're expected to do these certain things.
Yeah.
Which you can, well, that's the same thing. You don't hold something over them other than playing time, I guess.
Yeah. And from the 6A2, even coaches can't and don't leave every single year. 100% they could leave every single year if they chose, because that's why the buyouts are in place. That's what keeps many coaches from leaving, is because of the buyouts. And
when did buyouts start? Because I feel like that wasn't always the case. Or maybe the buyouts just weren't as gigantic as they are now.
I think it's that one.
Yeah.
I think it's probably that one. But the other thing is, I'm advocating more for the players while also acknowledging I wish there were more restrictions that were clear and in place. But it feels like the government and college sports weren't ready for this at all, which is shocking because you're not part of that and neither am I. And we both saw this coming.
Yeah, we absolutely did. Wild, like, Wild West, baby.
Yeah, that 3 years ago, we said, you know what you should get involved in when it comes to studying law? NIL programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll be fine.